Thank you, Dad, for those very generous words, and we hope that we can at least make a dent in. We greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ this evening. I know of no stronger thing in my life than the gospel of Jesus Christ, or a greater desire than to deliver that gospel to those who will hear with what time and life the Lord has given me, or might give me, to serve him. And we feel humble this evening, as we always do as we stand behind this or any other of the sacred desks of his church and kingdom here below. This sermon that I felt to bring this evening was originally presented in New York reunion last year. I don't know whether there's anybody here that was there or not. If you did, why, just kind of listen again. I've been rehearsed over a number of times with it myself. But the purpose or the reason that it came into existence was their theme in New York last year was the fruits of the Spirit. And the children had prepared little branches with little gifts hanging around on them. And so when I was asked to prepare or give the opening service, the sermon, I asked them what the theme of the was, and which they usually do. Most reunions have a theme, and they brought out these little limbs. They stood about this high. I've got one home that I brought back that was given to me, and so this was the inspiration for this sermon. And I hope that it will be of benefit to you. And these are the fruits of the Spirit, beginning with Galatians 5th chapter and the 22nd, 23rd verses. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. I know of no law in this land, at least. There may be, and I don't doubt but what there is in other lands around the world, because they certainly don't know meekness. They don't know long-suffering. Many do, but their oppressors don't. But they will learn in the hereafter. And so these are the basic principles of the fruits of the Spirit. There are others. I think I skipped here. Dan, how do I get back? No, that isn't going to do it. Oh, need my mouse.
How do we do it with these?
One of these? Yeah, okay, that's probably right. Yeah, that does it. Okay. Okay. And then going on, backing up in the 5th chapter of Galatians to the 13th and 14th verses. For brethren, we have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty. And this is an admonition to all of us, whether we're in or out of the church, or whether we're male or female, whether we're fathers, grandfathers, children, the matter's not. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh. In other words, there's any number of them, any of them we hear constantly. But when we use our liberties to take from others, to enrich ourselves, this is one of the worst that we can meet with and deal with in our lives. It's one of the most difficult. It's the one that is the basis for pride. It's the one that builds pride. And we are admonished in many places against pride. But going on, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And, you know, we've all heard that preached to us when we were toddlers in Sunday school, and when we're able to understand what the minister was preaching from the pulpit, we've heard it. And it is also one of the difficult commandments that the Lord has given, and yet is the most rewarding, and it is the most important of all. We should love our neighbors as ourselves. And now going on to the sixth chapter of Galatians. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man thinketh himself something when he is nothing, and you know that's all of us, not a one of us or anything in the sight of God. We're less than the dust of the earth. And he has told us that so many times. A man, when he thinketh himself something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. And you know, that's one of the things that we all like to get rid of, is the burden that's on us. We want to shed it somewhere. Not always on someone else, but we just want to get rid of it. We don't really care how we do it or where it goes. We just want it away from us. And yet, that is one of the things that brings us to our knees in humility before the Lord. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Now we hear the world mock. We hear, unfortunately, occasionally in the church, the mocking of God. And thankful that it's not very often. For whatsoever man soweth, so shall he reap. And, you know, those of you who are farmers, I've done some. I couldn't call myself a farmer exactly, but I've planted and I've harvested. And, you know, if you plant wheat, you're not going to harvest corn. If you plant weeds, you're not going to reap wheat or oats or those delicious carrots or tomatoes or any of those things. You reap what you plant. And that's true in, you know, life, even more so. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, whatsoever, lift out an amen, soweth, so shall he reap. For he that soweth to flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. You know, we may think that, I don't believe any of us here in this room or in the church believes that the price is too high for everlasting life. But I'm sure that if they don't amend that thought, when they stand before God and he puts them down the left side into everlasting damnation, they will know that the price would have been worthwhile had they given it. And let us not be weary of well-doing. You know, too many times, you know, oh, I've done enough. We never do enough. We can never, ever do enough. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Now that term does not excuse us from doing good to those of the world. They are also to be done well by us. There are many ways that we can do it. We've got a box out there in the foyer for collecting food for those who are less fortunate than we. That is disseminated by the ladies periodically. I doubt very much that even half of it goes to the members of the church, but it goes to the world. And going on, bring forth fruit, meat, that ye may be worthy of it. Neither did they receive any unto baptism, save they came forth with a broken heart and a contrite spirit, and witnessed unto the church that they truly repented of all their sins. Every one of us who have entered the waters of baptism have gone through that confession, have gone through that repentance. And woe to those who enter falsely, who falsify to the minister who officiates in that ordinance. For the scriptures teach us that such will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Now going on to Romans in the 8th chapter, beginning with the 23rd through the 28th verses. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan with ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body, that is the resurrection after this life that it's speaking of. And I know we each one hope and pray that we will rise yet before Christ coming into paradise to await his coming. But if he comes first, that we might be among those who rejoice at his coming, and not with those who will hide, seek to hide, for they cannot hide from his and his judgment here on earth. Going on, for we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why does he hope for? But if we hope for that which is not seen, which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. And that's what we're doing now. We're waiting patiently. I hope we can all do it patiently. for that time, and not neglecting to continue to serve the Lord and all the things that he's commanded us, because that will be damnation. Now going on, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. And you know, we're often that way. I am. And I know I should pray. I know there's things that need to be prayed for. But how, Lord, do I go about it? And he tells us here. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Oh, we don't know what those spirits groan, knowing the trials and tribulations that we're going through. And yet, they are watching over us, protecting us if we serve the Lord. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, that is man's spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to them who are called according to his purposes. And we know that too. We have heard it all our lives, most of us. Some of us a little shorter. I remember when Dan first came in contact with it. We knew his mother-in-law and his father-in-law. We knew his wife, at that time his girlfriend. And we all, for many of us at least, wondered how soon it would be before we would be allowed to meet this young man. And when we did, we were all happy. We rejoiced with Manon and with Dan. And that is the thing that we should do. We should rejoice for one another when things go well with them, when they have made the right choices in life. We should pray for those and feel sorry for those who don't make the right choices and who don't follow the teachings of the Lord, or who turn away from the opportunities to learn the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so we go on to Alma, the fifth chapter, 38th to the 42nd verse. And now, my beloved brethren, I have said these things. He has just preached a good sermon to his brethren. I have said these things unto you that I might awaken you to a sense of your duty to God. And those things were not different from what we have already read. Worded a little differently, but still meaning the same thing, obedience to the gospel of Christ. that ye may walk blameless before him, that ye may walk after the holy order of God, after which we have been received. And each of us have been received into that holy order. Whether we hold the priesthood or not is not one of the qualifications for that. You are among the chosen of God and of Christ to be his followers, to be, you know, more often, I believe, we teach the gospel more by how we treat one another, how we approach the world, how we treat the world, than when one of us, like myself, stands up here and reads you the scripture and comments and admonishes than the words that the Lord gives us as we stand here. We each one are preaching the gospel by the way we live. If we go out in the world and we use the bad language, no matter whether it's one of the worst or whether it's some of the substitutes. And you know, the substitutes are no better than the real thing, because they mean exactly the same thing. And I feel very badly many times when I read Facebook of some of the things that our own members use abbreviations for things that we know and they know very good and well what they really mean. And they don't please the Lord. They don't please the Lord at all. And yet they seek the blessings of the Lord. Oh, if we want the Lord to bless us, we will do everything in our power to serve Him, to love our neighbor herself, to see that he does not suffer hunger or thirst or sickness when there's something we can do to help him or her. And, you know, we also, many, I don't know what you think about those of you who are here, but I have seen animals abused by temper of their owners. And you know, that is counted also for wickedness, transgression in the sight of the Lord, because He has put those animals here. He put the trees, He put the flowers, He puts all of them here for our benefit, not for our abuse, not for our taking out our temper. One day we'll have to account for that. We can, while we're still in this life, repent of them, just like any other sin. But they're still sins. Going on. And now I would that you should be humble. Oh, that's the hardest principle of the gospel. To do away with our pride, humble ourselves, especially in front of those that we are trying to impress. As to how good we are, or how much better we are than them. Again, and now I would that ye should be humble and be submissive and gentle and easy to entreat. Now, that one is one we need to be careful of, that we're not entreated into the wrong things. They're not lured into evil, into transgressions of the law, but easily entreated by the Holy Spirit is what it's really telling us to do. Full patience. Oh, how short our patience are. How short they are. Being temperate in all things. Oh, how I used to love to sit down to a big juicy beef steak, just medium rare, and a big baked potato, lots of butter, sour cream, and just hog it up. Back in those days, I worked hard and I could work it off. Nowadays, I have to just look at it and pass it up because it sticks to my belly and I don't need that. I'm trying to get rid of it. But these are the things that we need to be temperate of, the things that tempt us to go beyond what is rightful, what is beneficial. You know, we're given these bodies to take care of. We're not given these bodies that we live in to see how much damage we can do to them before we pass on, or how much neglect we can get away with. That is not why we were given them. We were given them to serve the Lord with. And, you know, there are so many ways that we can and should be serving the Lord. I know of no greater pleasure than to sit in a home with those who have not really heard the gospel, but who want to hear, and are eager to hear. I dare say that none of the ministry that travel around but have had that experience more than once. It is a great rewarding thing. It's not something that shows. And that's what he was talking about earlier in the reading, that it's to us ourselves that he gives that kind of blessing. Going on, being diligent in keeping the commandments of God at all times, not just when we're with somebody that knows we're members of the church, but all times in our lives. And going on, asking for whatsoever things ye stand in need, both spiritual and temporal. I don't know many of us that, if any, that don't, or at least couldn't use more temporal blessings. But I know of absolutely no one who don't need spiritual blessings. Every last one of us needs them. To the very most that we can acquire. Because if you believe that we've been through the hard times, and the good times are ahead, both spiritually and temporally, physically, I can only feel sorry for you. Because even the things that we who can remember the Depression days, which I remember quite well, the drought, that everything is compared to today, they're going to feel like a Saturday afternoon swim in the pond. I can only verify this by the prophecies concerning the last days. There are many. And we need to get out our Bible and our Book of Mormon and read the prophecies. Not just the admonitions. Because one of the things that I think of often is his admonition that we should be prompt in our gathering to Zion. And he admonishes that it be not in winter, and especially to mothers giving suck to their children. You know, I've been studying a lot of Lehi and journey to this land. And I can't help but acknowledge the blessing that their wives received in the kind of raw meat they ate. They were not allowed to have fire because they were too close to the civilization and they'd be discovered. But their meat was raw, and nothing was cooked, even their vegetables. And that is one of the things that they were blessed with, was that their women with children were able to give their children suck. The only life they had, the only way they could survive. And they did. They did. And that is what he's warning our people. Not just of that alone, but you know, if you started across Kansas today and eastern Colorado, and you were going to live off the land, you'd get pretty hungry by that time, sunset. I can remember well as a boy, I was 10 years old then, I guess, and we were traveling with my father across the Mojave Desert in southern Nevada and eastern, southeastern California. And in those days, the roads were terrible. A good road was a plank road. There was no pavements. And quite often, it was just sand. And that old, thank goodness we had switched or was able to trade our Model T Ford into a Willys Whippet that had a gear shift. And quite often, my mother wasn't a driver, but she would steer. And we'd all get out and push. Her and my little sister, Kay, would sit in the car, and we'd push out of the sand onto the slab pavement. One way. Occasionally, you'd have a bypass. And I can't count the number of times across that three-day trip. We didn't make more than about 20, 30 miles a day in those days. Patch a tire about every 10, 15 miles. Can't count the number of people who came by our camp in the evening. Some with baby buggies, some with just knapsack over their back or a flour sack in their hand. And we would share what we had with them. Well, the strange thing was, that pot of stew and the coffee never ran out. Never ran out. Those days are coming again for all of us, and worse, and worse. And that's what I hope that each of you get from what we have to say this evening. And we're going on here now and see that you have faith, hope, and charity, and then you will always abound in good works. Yes, with those things, you will have the blessings of the Lord that we'll get to in a little bit. I'm going on now to Ether, the fifth chapter, two verses, 33 and 34. And again, I remember that thou hast said that thou hast loved the world even unto the laying down of thy life for the world. Can you imagine that? Well, I did, but I didn't think about it beforehand. I laid down my life in the military. Flew 38 combat missions, over 40,000 combat miles. But when I volunteered, I thought, oh boy, all I could think about was getting up there in the air and flying one of those big planes. And I thought I was going to be a pilot, but they decided that I had better qualities for bombardier. But I don't regret that. I'm glad that at least the world was spared for a little while longer to repent of Hitler's domination, desire to rule the whole world. And I'm not boasting. I've got many, many, many friends who are beneath the soil. Many of them there. I remember well coming back from those early missions in 43, and half of the barracks would be empty. 50% was not an unusual loss. But for the Lord's own purpose, He spared me. And I'm thankful for it. And I desire with all my heart to serve Him with whatever He gives me to serve Him with. But going on, because this is speaking about the Lord, not me. That thou mightest take it again to prepare a place for the children of men. Christ is going to take this world again to prepare it for the children of men. The conditions for those children are that they are obedient to His gospel. And now I know that this love which thou hast for the children of men is charity. You know, we don't have enough. If we had the whole world to give Him, we couldn't pay for our eternal life. And that's what He's saying. The children of men is charity, wherewith except men shall have charity, they cannot inherit that place which thou hast prepared in the mansions of thy Father. No. You know, the wealthy today, oh, buy gold, buy gold, buy gold. And that's the big issue. A million tons of it won't buy one single person eternal life. But they don't know that, because they've shut Him out already. But we know. Now, these are Christ's words in the fifth chapter of 3 Nephi. three verses. And behold, I have given unto you the law and the commandments of my Father, that ye shall believe in me, and that ye shall repent of your sins, and come unto me with a broken heart and a contrite spirit. That don't sound very hard, does it? But it is. It is when we truly do it. I hope yet that I can accomplish it, for I know I haven't. Behold, ye have the commandments before you. Every last one of us have them. And the law is fulfilled. Therefore, come unto me, and be ye saved. That's the only way we can be saved, is to come unto Jesus Christ and his gospel. For verily I say unto you, that except ye shall keep my commandments, which I have commanded you at this time, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. And then I've listed the answers to the fruits of charity, or the fruits of the Spirit. It's faith. Oh, how we need faith, how we're going to need it in the days ahead. Hope. We have hope that we can inherit eternal life. That's the greatest hope, greatest gift we can think of. There is nothing greater in this life. Charity, peace, long-suffering. Oh, you know, I've seen a lot of sickness, been through a lot. But so many of our sisters today go through so much with the various cancers that are out. And other things. I don't know. I haven't heard exactly what took Sister Caroline to the hospital, but I'm thankful that the prayers of the saints have prevailed to bring her back. You know, every time she has the strength, she's here. And others, same way. Sister Janice suffered so long and so hard. My wife, for 11 years. But every time she could be here, she was in that seat. Every prayer service she stood bore her testimony of God's goodness to her. And she's missed. She's missed. Long-suffering, meekness, gentleness, humility, goodness, repentance, baptism, receiving of the Holy Ghost, and lastly, eternal life. Oh, what a blessing that will be. And how I hope that every one of you will be there, and I hope that I'll be able to see you. Hope I'll be numbered with you. I can think of nothing greater. And here are our rewards. 3 Nephi, the 12th chapter, beginning with the 25th verse. Behold, I have given unto you my gospel. Oh, what a gift that is, if we just accept it and live by it. And this is my gospel, which I have given unto you, that I came into the world to do the will of my Father. Oh, that we can be like him and do the will of our Father, our Heavenly Father, Christ's Father, for he's the one who issued and committed and composed and compiled the gospel that his Son gave us. Do the will of my Father, because my Father sent me. And my Father sent me that I might be lifted up upon the cross, that I might draw all men unto me, that I, as I have been lifted up by men, even so should men be lifted up by the Father to stand before me, to be judged of the works wherewith, whether they be good or whether they be evil. Oh, may all of our works, every one of us, be righteous, be good. May we all stand before that judgment bar on that day with joyful hearts, not with wishing that we could hide, that we could run, because we can't. And for this cause have I been lifted up. Therefore, according to the power of the Father, I will draw all men unto me, that they may be judged according to their works. You know, it don't matter whether they want to come, whether they're willing to come. They may be dragged by the hair of their head like old Brother Cipino did down in Mexico in 1952 or 3. But he was dragged because he would not deny the gospel of Christ. But he survived too for many years. Now to 11th chapter, 1 verse 13. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room to receive it. You know, we can't conceive of such a thing. It's beyond human imagination, but it's true, because he spoke it. And if we will do that, pay our tithes, pay our offerings, help the needy, take care of the poor, the sick, the afflicted, preach the gospel to those who have not heard, keep the house of the Lord in order and in righteousness, we will receive those blessings. May the good Lord bless you, is my prayer.